Okay, first of all, my name is Leon Keener. I'm the Executive Director of the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education. And first of all, I'd like to thank you so much for the opportunity to come to return to you again and speak on our Fine Arts Advocacy Day here at the State Capitol. The Iowa Alliance for Arts Education is a collaborative organization that includes the fine arts professional organizations of the state, as well as representatives of the Iowa School Association of Music Dealers, Iowa Department of Education, Iowa High School Music Association, and Iowa Association of School Boards. Our legislative ask this year to the Iowa legislature is to add fine arts as a core subject in the state of Iowa, and to ask that a fine arts position at the Department of Education be part of our code. To tell our story, I want to start by paraphrasing Rachel Goslins, who is the executive director of the President's Committee on the Arts. We were at a meeting with her last Thursday, and she said, fine arts education is two things. And she said, it's a flower, and it's a wrench. And I'm going, what is this? Okay. And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about it, and I'm going, that is exactly right, and that's exactly what we're talking about. First of all, we believe firmly that fine arts education for all the students in Iowa is part of a basic and fundamental education that every student in Iowa deserves. It's something that we like, it's nice to look at, it's nice to have, but it's also fundamental. But equally more important, we believe that fine arts education is a wrench. Fine arts education is a tool that can prepare students for success in school, success in the workplace, and success in life.
Senator Dvorsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe we passed the bill last year, right?
Yes, you did.
It didn't go anywhere in the Iowa House, so
correct.
Maybe need to run it through again.
We will.
Right. I think that's helpful. I just wondered if, and I hate to speak after all this elegant presentation here, but down to actually legislative things. Mm-hmm. There's something going on right now called allowable growth. And that's what actually funds the schools and also funds arts and music and everything else. And if you don't have enough allowable growth, some of the first activities cut would be music and arts and that sort of thing. And I wonder if you had any position on that.
It's very interesting. I received just a couple phone calls, in fact, 2 days ago, and it was from a band director. And he
right.
said, they're cutting my position by one third. We're not a core subject in the state of Iowa. And
well,
that's what there's...
Well, but even if they weren't a core subject, if they wanted to fund it, if they had proper allowable growth, they could.
That
so
is true.
That's true. So I would think, I would hope, would recommend you look at that as maybe something you might want to look at if you actually want to fund arts and music in schools. The way we fund it is through allowable growth.
Correct. Yeah.
So I would think maybe your association might want to look at that and supporting allowable growth in this state because that's the way we do it. I would
okay.
recommend that anyway.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the, thank you for, I think as Senator Dvorsky called it, the elegant presentations.
Yes.
Great to have you all here today. I'm a big fan of the arts. I know all of my kids have performed in the performing arts, and that's good stuff. I don't know where they got it. It certainly wasn't for me. Maybe my wife. I like that. Do you have data on how many schools, like elementary schools, actually don't have arts programs? I mean, do you have some of that kind of legislative stuff?
According to Iowa code, they have to have it. Okay, Iowa code states that there must be fine arts taught grades K through 8. So this, what we're looking at is, it's this is not a change in Iowa code.
Right.
What we're looking at is that it would be a course subject.
Yeah, I get that. But do you have a measure on... So you have to teach it, but it makes a difference whether in Cedar Rapids, because of some past budget cuts, mm-hmm. there have been times when the music teacher from one elementary school is only there half the day, spends a lot of time driving to another school. Do you have any kind of measures on that?
We have anecdotal evidence. We don't have any specific, you know, evidence as far as it's been a certain percentage cut across the state.
Okay. Well, thank you. And Mr. Chair, I just maybe you could... Or we could get staff to ask the Department of Education if they have data on the historical numbers of arts teachers we've had, maybe something like that, some kind of measures, so we can see how we're doing. Because what Senator Dvorsky said, though, it is really true. One of the first things that kind of goes to the chopping block, it seems to me, based on experience in Cedar Rapids, We had a terrible fight. Local school board had to raise taxes in order to prevent it from happening. 04 had to raise taxes to prevent the layoff of, I think they were talking at the time about maybe a dozen art and music teachers being laid off, or a couple dozen. It's been a while. I can't remember that debate, but it always does seem to me like this stuff is on the chopping block first when money's tight, and right now money apparently is very, very tight. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Senator Holt. We'll direct the staff to go ahead and get that out to the committee. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being back again this year. I'm back as well, and I just have a couple of questions about this. I know this is going to surprise Senator Hoag, but I believe that the first piece of music that had an influence on me was a live performance of The In Crowd by the Ramsey Lewis Trio, and that was before the Beatles got here.
Right. Okay,
or something like that. So, but it was. I still have that 45 in my little collection. I want to ask you a couple questions and follow up on that, and thank you for being up at Emmitsburg. You didn't talk about your 99 county tour here a little bit, and that. You should, Simon. Okay. I believe you should do that. They have one band instructor one instrument music instructor for three bands, and I guess if you count marching band, it'd be four. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the kinds of things. Now, but I understood it to be said here that every teacher in 338 school districts here has contributed to this document in one way or another, or at least reviewed it. Is that true?
Okay, what we did is we had about 60 teachers across the state of Iowa in theater, drama, music, and visual arts work together. And we looked at the parameters that were given to us by the Department of Education.
Okay.
And then we came up with our document from there.
Okay, I live 4-hour drive from here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Iowa out there. I would think that with that many school districts and that many music and arts teachers that you should be able to compile some data from them, if it's not from the Department of Education, to collect the kind of data that Senator Hoag's talking about. And we get a better snapshot, but the department can do that too. But
correct,
you have that out there. What I want to know about the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education is, are you going to mobilize at the local level to resist cutbacks in arts and music if that were to be the case? Money aside, I know it's an important issue, as Senator Dvorsky talked about. But even when money is there, I've been on this planet long enough to know that those are the first things to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, are you ready to do it at the grassroots? And because that's where it can be stopped. But if we don't have school boards that are meeting transparently and in the open, which often they do not in our rural areas, nobody knows about it until it's too late. Correct. I'm just being very political there. So I'll let you go with that. So.
Yes, we have been doing that since 1988, and we will continue doing it. I believe we had over 200 calls last year alone to our organization from various teachers across the state of going through. And what we do is we provide advocacy information to go in for local teachers to go to their local school boards. So what we do is we do a lot of advocacy information. We do not go into the school district. We provide information and statistics for the local teachers to mobilize their own parents and community members, because we feel that's the strongest way to go.
Yes.
It's much stronger to go that way than to have the local people, because they're the ones who are affected by it the closest.